welcome to the program. Today we continue in Matthew chapter 24. We're talking about the soon return of the Lord. If you can, have your Bible ready. To that introduction song that we've been listening to is "The Fight Is On, O Christian Soldier," and "Face to Face in Stern Array with Armor Gleaming and Colors Streaming, the Right and Wrong Engage Today." Well, there's not much engagement against the wrong these days. Pulpits are strangely quiet about the issues of the hour. There's no doubt when you look at the signs that were prophesied 2,000 years ago and what is going on in the world today. The Lord is coming back again, and He's coming back again soon. The question is, in these last days, ask yourself this question as you listen to this message and song. Am I a soldier of the cross?
Am I a soldier of the cross? A follower of the Lamb? And shall I fear to own His cause, or blush to speak His name? Must I be carried to the skies on flowery beds of ease, while others fought to win the prize and sail through bloody seas? Are there no foes for me to face? Must I not stem the flood? In this vile world, a friend of grace to help me on to God. Sure, I must fight if I would reign. Increase my courage, Lord. I'll bear the toil, endure the pain, supported by Thy word.
Am I a soldier of the cross? That's a really interesting question. What we need to do in this age of apostasy is face the facts and face the future. Now, the facts are that what we called fundamentalism even 10 years ago and what it is today has very little in common. I remember back in the 60s when I was young in the ministry, I'd listen to other preachers, and without exception, they would preach the whole counsel of God. But today, we have politically correct fundamentalism. That is, do not say anything that might offend somebody. And the problem today is not in what is being preached in our fundamental churches. The problem is what is not being preached. And as a result of that, sound doctrine has been set aside, and it has been replaced with what the Bible calls fables. As we continue in Matthew 24 and verse number 10, today we read, "And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold." Now, this word iniquity means lawlessness, and you don't have to listen too long to the news these days to see that lawlessness abounds. Philippians 1:9 says, "And this I pray, that your love may abound." The Bible says here, because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Well, certainly iniquity is abounding, but Paul said, "I pray that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment." What a tremendous portion of Scripture. You need to know how to love in knowledge and in judgment or in discernment. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 14 and 15, it says that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But verse 15 goes on to say, but rather speaking the truth in love. Now, verse 10 says, the love of many shall wax cold. There's three different words in the original that have been translated love or charity in our King James Bible. One is eros, and it refers to an erotic type of love, including lust. One is phileo, and refers to the affection that can range from infatuation to a much deeper love. And then the other word is agape, which is a Christ-like love. Now, the Bible talks about love growing cold here, and it's interesting that in Christ's final message, it was about understanding love. He said in John chapter 15, verse number 17, these things I command you, that you love one another. Again, as we have mentioned before, and we'll mention again because it's so important, Christ here did not command us to love one another. It is not possible to love on command. Love is much deeper than that. What Jesus said here is, these things I command you, that you love one another. These things I command you, and you will, it'll be a byproduct of doing these things, you will love one another. The phrase these things occurs 38 times in the book of John. Sometimes it's referring to objects, and sometimes it's referring to what Jesus said. The things that Jesus was talking about in John begin in chapter 13, where he said, if ye know these things, happy are ye if ye do them. If ye know, if you pay attention to these things, happy are ye if ye do them. Now in Matthew 24 and 10 it says, because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Love waxing cold. Why? Because we ignore these things, and if we do these things which Christ has commanded us, the love is a byproduct that happens automatically. Jesus said in John 13 and 1, if ye keep my commandments, ye shall love one another, and that word is agape, a Christ-like love. It's a byproduct. Then in verse number 13 of Matthew 24, he says, and he that shall endure unto the end shall be saved. Now, some people take this totally out of context and say you've got to endure in order to keep your salvation. You always have to ask ourselves, what are we going to be saved from? What is the context of this statement here? And the context has to do with the things that he has been talking about in the previous verses, which is the apostasy of the end of the age. The Bible talks about being saved from our enemies, being saved from them that hate us, being saved from the Philistines, being saved from the heathens, being saved from among the heathens, and many more times. The Bible talks about being saved, and we always need to ask ourselves, what is he talking about being saved from? Not always talking about being saved from hell. In verse 14 it says, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. This gospel, very important to understand when you're studying Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and the first seven chapters of the book of Acts. There are two distinct messages being preached. One does not contradict the other. But in Matthew 10 and 5, it says, Jesus told his disciples, into the city of the Samaritans enter ye not. Then in John chapter 4, verse 4, in the same timeline, he said, we must needs go through Samaria. And then we read in verse 40 and 41, he abode there 2 days, and many more believed because of his own word. Now, how is it that he says, do not go to the Samaritans, and then he says that we must needs go through Samaria? Well, the reason is there's two different messages. With the message that was strictly for the Jews that had to do with their kingdom, he said, do not go to the Gentiles with any of this. Do not go to the Samaritans. do not enter that city with this message. But with the plan of salvation, that message has always been for everyone at all times. And so it says this gospel, the plan of salvation, is to go into all the world. It'll be preached in all the kingdoms of the world, all the nations, and then shall the end come. Now, the gospel for the Jews, for their kingdom, was not to be preached unto all nations. This gospel is to be preached unto all nations. Further to that thought, Jesus is referred to in Acts chapter 5 and verse 31 as a prince. That's someone who is in line for the throne, a prince and a savior. Let me read it. Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, to give repentance unto Israel and the forgiveness of sin. Two messages here. Again, in Luke chapter 2 and verse number 32, he's referred to a light and he's referred to the glory. A light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of my people Israel. We must remember to understand and get into context that there are two messages being preached there in the early part of the New Testament, and that is one was to the Jews, strictly to do with their kingdom that would be set up, and that is yet to come, and the other one was whosoever will may come, and that message has to do with eternal life, and it is to be preached to everyone. And so again, in verse number 14 of Matthew 24, he said, this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. The end. The end of what? That phrase, the end, is in the Bible 150 times. In Genesis 8 and 3, it talks about the end of the 150 days. In Genesis 8 and 6, it talks about the end of 40 days. In Genesis 41:1, it talks about the end of 2 full years. Exodus 12:41, the end of the 430 years. Now, what end is he talking about here? We see the end of the world. Well, it's in verse number 3, what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world. The word world there actually is the age. What is the end of the age? And it's referring to the local church age that we're living in now. And so he says, well, here's a sign. This gospel shall be preached unto all nations, then shall the end come. Now, 2,000 years ago, they couldn't preach the gospel unto all nations, and of course, this gospel has to do with eternal life. Just recently, just in recent days, on this broadcast alone, we've got a report. People have listened in the United Kingdom, Canada, Japan, Germany, Singapore, the Netherlands, Spain, France, Australia, the Philippines, Switzerland, Brazil, New Zealand, Zambia, Nigeria, Indonesia, Iceland, South Africa, Dominican Republic, Finland, the Republic of Korea, Costa Rica, India, the Ivory Coast, Russia, China, Grenada, Hong Kong, Mexico, Norway, Saudi Arabia, Sudan, Thailand, Vietnam, Israel, and Washington, D.C. have tuned into this broadcast just in recent days. There are hundreds of programs out there being received on the World Wide Web all around the world. That was impossible 2,000 years ago, but 2,000 years ago, Jesus said, when the gospel is preached unto all nations, then shall the end of this age come. In Luke 21 and verse 28, when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh.
When the great busy plants of our cities shall have turned out their last finished work, when the merchants have sold their last order and dismissed every last weary clerk, when our banks have raked in their last dollar and have paid out their last dividend, when the judge of the earth wants a hearing and he asks for a balance, what then? What then? What then? When he asks for a balance, what then? When the choir has sung its last anthem and the preacher has voiced his last prayer, when the people have heard their last sermon and the sound has died out in the air, when the Bible lies closed on the altar, and the pews are all empty of men, when each one stands facing his record, and the great book is opened, what then? What then? What then? When the great book is opened, what then? When the actors have played their last drama, and the mimic has made his last fun, when the movie has flashed its last picture, and the billboard displayed its last run, when the crowd-seeking pleasure has vanished, gone out in the darkness again, when the trumpet of ages has sounded, and we stand before him, what then? What then? What then? When we stand before him, what then? When the bugle calls things into silence, and the long marching column stands still, when the captain repeats his last orders, and they capture the last fort and hill, when the flag has been hauled from the masthead, all the wounded afield have checked in, and the world has rejected its Savior, is asked for a reason, what then? What then? What then? When you're asked for a reason, what then?